it's good to be together. Just let's turn to the Word of God and thank you, Lord, for your presence. It's a powerful time of praise this morning. What you and how you respond to God and how you give to the Lord matters to him and to the whole church, actually. I've seen people kind of just stand there like stones, and you think, well, Jesus said, even that if you're not going to praise him, even the stones will cry out because he's so worthy. And it's so important, a life of praise. Now, this morning, I believe we're going to get to somewhere great, that God's going to do something great at the end of this message. But let's just walk together through the Word of God and just allow his Word to renew your mind, to maybe even remind you of what you already knew, or for some of you, find something fresh. And I believe, I trust with all of us in some way, find something fresh revelation from God this morning. So let's just pray. Father, you're the one who makes Jesus known and makes everything spiritual a reality in the spirit realm. Lord, you make your word real. And I pray, Father, this morning, that you will take your word and reveal it to us. And that we won't be forgetful hearers, that we won't just go in one ear and out the other, but that it will actually drop into our hearts through revelation, and that that seed of your word would grow up to produce an amazing harvest for your glory. I want to thank you, Lord, you've destined us to live as people of victory, people who will actually win in life through Jesus Christ. And I pray, Lord, for the any kind of strategy of the enemy to try and kind of make us think that we can't win in certain things in our lives. I want to pray for the removal of that through the power of your word and bringing light into the darkness in our understanding so that we can actually walk in the light and in all that you've got for us. I just tell the enemy in the name of Jesus, you're bound. You won't take this meeting. You won't take the hearts and minds of your people. And I thank you, Lord, for the blood of Jesus that protects and guards your people from free from accusation and from the attack of the enemy. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Genesis chapter 3 is an exciting moment in the history of mankind and God's creation. And it's exciting for all the wrong reasons, really. Because God had created the heavens and the earth, and he made man in his image. God created man in God's image. And Satan, represented here by a serpent, didn't like anything that God had made, particularly man who is made in God's image. And we read here in verse 1 of chapter 3 of Genesis. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, did God really say? Now in this particular instance, you must not eat from any tree in the garden. That was specific to God saying, I don't want you to, you're not going to do this. I don't want you to do this. You've got free choice, but I'm asking you not to touch this fruit. And the devil, of course, Satan, wants to kind of come in and question what God has said. And I think it's significant that this is the first words that Satan speaks to man, to people. Don't you think that's significant? The very first words weren't, I'm going to rob your life and kill you. No. Don't you think that's interesting? He says, did God say? And so I believe it's very significant we understand and are not unaware of the devil's schemes. Because in the Word of God comes a clarity for you and for me in our lives that this questioning and doubting voice that comes into your life and to mine is actually nothing new under the sun. Is the same Satan strategy in the beginning as it still is going on today. So what happened in the beginning of the creation of man is that Satan wanted to throw doubt into people's minds about what God has said. And we know that in Christ, if you're a believer, Jesus has delivered us out from the dominion of darkness. In other words, we have been taken out from the authority or the power of Satan. And we've been brought into the kingdom of God, which means we are in Christ, and Satan has no power over us because Jesus rose again from the dead, and we have been raised in Christ Jesus, and where he is, we are. And what he's won, we have in Christ Jesus, which is complete victory in Christ over the devil. But this victorious people, and if you think Adam and Eve were victorious at that point, they hadn't failed. This serpent, the snake, comes in and whispers, "Did God really say?" And he wants us, even today, to question, is God's word true? That's the challenge from Satan. He wants to throw doubt into the word of God so that you begin to question, well, I'm not sure that God really did say. Has anybody ever heard that? I've heard that many times. Did God really say he loves me? Did God really say he answers prayer? Has anybody heard that one? Did God really say he is good when maybe I'm going through a difficult time? And this question, this I believe from the mouth of Satan, or from demons that affect our minds, is actually designed to move you from believing the word and trusting what God says into doubting everything that you used to believe or initially believed. And I am absolutely sure that we need to expose the devil's schemes so that we understand the source of doubt is from Satan. Yes, you and I can live a double-minded life, and we need to make sure that our mind isn't actually fluctuating all the time. But we need to understand where the source of this, did God say, if God is for me, then why is this happening? And these are questions I believe we need to answer through the word of God. But to understand our enemy is so important in the walk of being a Christian. That you and I understand that the enemy is out to steal your faith in God's word. He's out to rob you and to bring doubt. Because doubt means you go without what God said. Can I repeat that? Doubt something and you will go without what God said. And so this is a significant attack that is designed to bring God's chosen people into kind of a powerless, defeated life. Doubt will defeat you. Okay, so that's the enemy's strategy. He wants you to actually, he can't take your salvation, but he wants you to lose out on all the blessings and promises that God has for your life. He actually wants you to doubt your significance, to doubt your destiny in God, that God has a plan and a future for you. He wants you to doubt so much about his goodness in your life. So the devil speaks to you and says, did God really say he was going to open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing you can't contain? And I believe we've all heard, and sometimes, if I'm honest, responded to the doubt. And I believe that there is a way out of doubt. And it's God's way, isn't it? You can look at your symptoms. We say, the word of God says, by the stripes of Jesus, we are healed. We were healed, actually. is a proper translation. On the cross, Jesus took every sickness on himself. He didn't just take our sin. He took all our sicknesses and all our diseases. And by the stripes of Jesus, we are healed. Not will be, are. And our symptoms can actually make us doubt that word. If you've ever had a pain in your body, it's really tough to not agree with the devil and doubt that you're healed. Yes? It's tough to not respond to what's going on in your body rather than say, no, the truth of what God's word says is that by the stripes of Jesus, I am healed. When you look at your kids, some of you have children who are not following the Lord currently. And maybe you had a promise years ago that your kids would follow Jesus. And after years and years of their rebellion or lifestyle, or people that have been saved, you can see their lifestyle just goes back to worldly living. You can begin to doubt the promise that God gave you for your family, for your marriage, for your kids. You can look at your life and your call and you can say, is this it? I once heard God say this, but I can't see any evidence of what God has spoken in my life. And that gets you questioning, did God really say? We can look at things and promises as a church. We have awesome promises as a church that God has spoken over us. They're awesome. And we're not yet in them. We're growing into them, but we're not yet in them. And over a period of time, you can start to think, did God really say? And if Satan moves us into doubt, then he takes the power out. And we need to understand the victory ground is the word ground, the word of God, not doubting. Okay, so we recognize that Satan wants to get us to doubt, to give up on the promises, to let go of what God has spoken and promised. And I don't believe for one minute that there's any letting go of promises. I believe there's laying hold and taking hold of everything God has said and saying, through faith and patience, I will inherit the promises, Satan. I'm not going to give this over to, I may as well give up. I'm disappointed. My family aren't what I thought it was going to be. My business isn't what it's supposed to be. My career isn't what I thought it was going to be. Listen, if you've been leveled by something, you need to know the word of God is going to bring you out of that situation into victory. It doesn't matter how bad it looks, the promise of God, and God is able to change what is negative into the positive. But he can't do it if we are doubting. And we've got to be a believing person, a believing people, a people who say, no, God has said it, and he is faithful, and he will do it. Some of you look around in your circumstances and say, well, I can't see any evidence at all of what God's promised. And the devil wants you to look at your circumstances and for your circumstances to tell you, why don't you doubt God about that promise then? And that is such an important scheme of Satan. That's what the Bible says. Don't be unaware of Satan's schemes. It's a scheme. It's a strategy. And you know, last week we were talking about that this snake, the serpent, is described as Satan all the way through Scripture. And the thing about snakes is there are different kinds of snakes and there are more powerful snakes than others. But a python, particularly a python, doesn't uses venom to kill you. He kind of bites into you and then crushes you, gets around you, squeezes the life out of you. And doubt is one way Satan uses to squeeze the life of God and the life of faith out of you. Recognize it and say, no more doubt in this place. I am not going to doubt God anymore. You need to recognize it's a strategy sent from hell. And if we don't wake up to those strategies, we're going to be fighting ourselves, or even, as some immature believers do, blame God for what the devil's doing. God never did anything to destroy his people. He came to give us life, and life in all its fullness. But Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And one of the ways he does that is to get you to doubt, to lose your faith, lose your hope, start to spiral, and say, I'll still go to church, but I'm not going to actually have an exciting life because I don't believe God. And the exciting life, the powerful life, the real life of a Christian is a faith life. Now, I've got this comment here. The devil is in the doubt. If you're doubting something about God, you're doubting a promise, the devil is in that doubt. Yes, it's not God. And you need to wake up to that, shake yourself up and say, actually, I'm not going to allow my mind to be double-minded. God said he would, you know, he would, he wouldn't, he would, he wouldn't. That's doubting. Talk about a confused individual. I might not, he may not. Doubt is something you live without. And the devil is always behind that doubt to throw things up that oppose or contradict the promise that God's given you. He actively resists faith. So he actively resists you when you say, I believe God's word says, and this is what's going to happen. As soon as that happens, the devil will start to actively resist that and try and cast doubt on God's word, just as he's always done. James says, when you pray, let someone ask in faith, not doubting. Otherwise, you can't receive anything from God. That always gets me. Does it get you when you read James? When you pray, ask in faith, not doubting. Not saying, well, he may not. Not questioning. Otherwise, you will not receive anything. How many want to receive everything from God? I'm here to receive all he's got to give. Yes, for me, for you, and for us as a church, and for this region. I'm here to take it all. But I can't have it with doubt. Come on. Yes, we can't receive these things with doubt. So we've got to get doubt out. Yes. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:7, for we walk by faith and not by sight. And the second part is a description from what the Bible says faith is. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what is not seen. We, Christians, walk by faith. So we live. To walk means to actually live out our lives. Not just on a Sunday when everybody else is believing, but it's a walk. We walk, we get up, we continue every day by faith. Not by sight, not by just seeing around us and saying this is determining what God's doing. What I see is nothing comparison to what God is actually doing. Because if you just walk by sight, you're just the same as the world. You don't need God to walk by sight, do you? You've got you've got a certain amount of money in your bank account. That's it. You've got certain situations personally. Well, that's it, that sight. But faith says God is able to as I give, God is able to make all grace abound to me so that I'll have more than enough for every good work. So I will give some, and that money is going to grow beyond my income. Because God will get in on that money. So we don't walk by sight. We walk by faith. Now, what is faith? Faith is being sure of what we hope for. My goodness me. That defines really what real faith is. Faith doesn't doubt, it doesn't waver, it's absolutely sure. It's certain of what you don't yet see. So faith deals with what you can't see first. And when you believe what God says that you can't see, the promise of God, as you trust that promise and believe it and refuse to doubt it, that promise materializes in your experience. Okay? So it's faith first, and then the evidence comes later. But when we're living by faith, we can't see the evidence. But the evidence we have is the promise, God's word. God's word is the evidence we need. I've got my evidence, and I've got my word about what God is going to do in my life and in this church. And actually, that's all I need. And so, faith is this sure and certain world that you live in, that you can't yet see, but it's such a reality, you're kind of acting like it's coming. You are starting to behave like, do you know what, that's on its way? Praise the Lord, it's going to happen. Sure and certain of what we don't yet see. We've got to get out of the sight, the material. We need to come out of what we feel. We need to come away from the doubts about situations and just come to the Word of God and say, Lord, your Word says there are over 370 promises, 360 promises in the Bible. I think there's enough for every day to get you by through your whole life and to see a whole world change because of God's Word. There are more promises here that are more real than your current circumstances. God is able to change your circumstances as you believe the word of God and take the promise and say, that's it. I'm going to trust God that he is faithful. The one who promised is faithful. Come on, say it. The one who promised is faithful. And he will do it. I love the truth of God's word. Because as Christians, we're always happy about what we haven't yet seen. Doubting makes you look like you've eaten a load of lemons. And your face is so dried up and miserable because actually you're living in doubt. But faith actually changes the whole atmosphere in which you live. You start to believe God and it just changes you. Jesus, the first words that we have recorded that he spoke to Satan, which is interesting. Jesus spoke to the devil, and so we need to too. That's how he dealt with, if you are the Son of God, if I want to cast doubt on it. Jesus said, what did he say? It is written. He didn't say, I've got power over you. He said, it's written. In other words, I'm confident, I believe this, and to be honest, you haven't got a hope. Because the word of God is so much more powerful than any word of Satan. But you better use the word of God against every lie and every doubt, because only the word gives you the victory. Jesus was showing us how to win. It is written! And all the way through the church age, all the way through the generations, it must be the cry of every Christian. It is written. What God has said about you, what he says about your family, what he says about your future, what he says about us as a church, what he's got to say about our nation. It is written, church. It's written. It's unchangeable. And I'm not going to doubt what is written. The Holy Scriptures, the Word of God that is living and powerful. The Word that created everything that you see anyway. The devil is a liar. And he wants to throw up doctrines of demons. And get the world believing, and or even the church believing, that God didn't do what he said he did. I don't believe in evolution. I believe the Word of God. It is written. And it takes more faith to believe in evolution than it does to believe in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Somebody once said, it's like, some people think, you know, evolution is designed to make you think that people are insignificant because I'm not a monkey. I'm made in the image of God. I'm significant. People are significant. And they're designed, it's designed, evolution, to make you think that there's no life or purpose or destiny for mankind. If you're a monkey, that's it, guys. You're going to get eaten by some gorilla. Do you know what I mean? That's it. I'm made in the image of God. It is written, the word of the Lord. And somebody once described this to me, and I thought it was brilliant. Evolution is as ridiculous as me walking into my garden, finding a Rolex. Just there, this masterpiece. And I pick the Rolex up, and I look at it and I think, that's awesome. All the way from the African mines, the gold and the diamonds have come and landed superbly to make this beautiful Rolex. And then in Malaysia, the mechanisms, and all the way around the world, they've just gathered, and suddenly it's all come together and dropped here in my garden. Isn't this a lucky happening? Isn't this what a Rolex. I mean, isn't evolution incredible? Ridiculous. It was designed and made for a purpose. In the image of the Creator. We are not a chance happening. And it takes more faith to believe a Rolex could land in my garden and create itself on the way down than it does to believe that God created us. And it's a doctrine of demons that says there is a God, but we did come from monkeys. That's on the head. It is written, and we are a people who stand on the word of God. Because everything else will fall, but the word of God will remain. Bosh! Out! With doubt, in with the word of God. I wasn't meant to go into all of that this morning. Let's talk to Joshua. Let's go to Joshua. Well, I just say I'm made in the image of God. God made man in his image. Thank you, Jesus. Now, I've been putting myself into Joshua's shoes, thinking, would I have been able to handle quite what God said? And I trust, because I would have heard him say it, and I have heard him say it actually to me, this scripture. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of God. You can't believe without the word anyway. So you've got to hear the word of God. And Joshua's in the promised land, brought the people across the Jordan by the power of God. And they're facing Jericho. And it's a city that actually where the enemy had kind of taken. It was the enemy possessed the city with the visible eye. You know, it looked like the enemy had got it. And Joshua comes in. And it says here about Jericho, verse 1. Now, Jericho was tightly shut up. I love that. Tightly shut up because of the Israelites. No one went out and no one came in. See, I believe the devil actively works to tightly shut up the promises that God has given you. And that currently the enemy has got hold of stuff that belongs to us. Anybody with us? Joshua chapter 6, verse 1. Did I say the wrong verse? Do you not know your Bibles? No. Joshua chapter 6, verse 1. And what the Lord says when he's standing there looking at this massive, fortified, impossible to go in, no way in city. The Lord then has another kind of perspective on it. We've been singing about perspective. God, I look to you. You're where my help comes from. Give me vision to see things like you do. Okay, so we're about to cut in on what God's seeing. Naturally speaking, Jericho looks absolutely impenetrable. God says to Joshua, see, I've given you the city. Hang on, Lord, are you seeing what I'm seeing? Jericho doesn't look like it's mine. See, Joshua, I've given you this promise. See, beloved believer, I've given you every promise in Christ. I have delivered Jericho into your hands. So in other words, I want you to see what's already done spiritually. That's faith. You can't see it. Sure and certain of what we hope for. Sure of what we hope for. Certain of what we do not yet. I mean, you could look at any promise and the Lord's saying, see, I've given you this. See an exceedingly great army, which is our promise as a church. See it. Don't doubt it. See it. Along with its king and its fighting men, which is interesting, it's war going on around the promise. Hello? Are you awake this morning? Satan doesn't want you to have the promises. He wants you to doubt because of what you're seeing, that it's impossible, that there's no way. But God says, I want you to see as I see. Simple, isn't it? But awesome. And so just imagine if you're in Joshua's shoes going, fair enough, Lord. Right, it's ours. Thank you, Jesus. He just accepted what God said. He didn't struggle with it. He didn't cry and pray for 30 days. He said, right, thank you. He believed what God said was true. I mean, that's the simple faith that gets you to possess the promises. It's just simple. Yeah, I just accept it, Lord. Doesn't look like it. In fact, it's almost like you need to put God's glasses on, which is the word. See life through the promise. If you take your glasses off, you can see all the problems. You can see what's in the natural going on. But you just put God's glasses on with the word of God. And what you're going to do, go, oh, look, it's all mine. Isn't that brilliant? Thank you, Lord. Even the devil is mine. He ain't able to stop us. And then the Lord gives them, and I think this is all part of the faith walk. The Lord says, march around the city once with all your armed men. Do this for 6 days. Make 7 priests carry trumpets of ram's horns in front of the ark. On the 7th day, march around the city 7 times with the priests blowing trumpets. When you hear the sound of those long blasts and the trumpets, make all the people give a loud shout. Make all the people shout loudly. Okay? And then the wall of the city will collapse and the people will go up, every man straight in. Right. With my own eyes, I can't see how that could happen, Lord. Walking round a tightly shut up, highly fortressed city with loads of fighting men and kings. But if I just look at it like this, which is the only way I'll do this, there's going to happen. And I don't need to kind of see if there's any new weaponry around to give my men so that there's more power in what I'm doing. The power is in me believing and acting on the word. The power is in me believing and acting on what God says. So Joshua, another remarkable thing, says, fair enough. Everybody guess what we're going to do. And this is the miracle. They were a people of faith because they had experienced 40 years in the wilderness because of unbelief and doubt. And they didn't want to go back to that life. So they were kind of a little bit of clarity on what unbelief and doubt does. You die in the wilderness in that. So the clarity was saying to them, fair enough, whatever you say goes. It makes absolutely no sense to me. But I'm keeping my mouth closed and I'm just going to do what God says. I mean, isn't the faith walk sometimes seemingly ridiculous? Isn't it? To be a Christian, it looks ridiculous. It looks ridiculous to do what I do. People would think, what on earth are they up to? And they couldn't see that God's here, that his word is living and powerful, that angels are here, that God is working as I'm speaking, and that God's people are getting strengthened and full of power to overcome. They can't see that, but I can see it. I can see God's here to do the impossible. How unreasonable and ridiculous and silly it is to walk round a fortified city and shout at the end of it. With a loud voice, I have to say, they weren't even allowed to be quiet. They were instructed by the word of God to shout loud. None of this murmuring as you go around. They did that last time and didn't go in anyway. They had to shout. And I don't believe that it would have been easy on their minds. And I think these spiritual truths and spiritual realities are not easy on your head. But I think you've just got to settle it once for all. If God's word says to do it, and that I am a believer, I'm going to do it. And that is it. I am not going to be dictated to by my reasoning, by the doubts of the devil. I'm going to shout. If he says shout, I'm going to lift my hands. If he says lift my hands, I'm going to do what the word of God says to do, because in that is the power. Amen. You see, we would want to shout after God brought the walls down. We want to shout when we've seen the promise happen. But God says it's in the wrong order. And faith is the right order. Faith shouts before the victory. I mean, it is ridiculous sometimes to be in this room, going for it, shouting to God. And it's like, well, why are we doing this? You might just want to stand there and praise God this morning for your healing. And in doing that, you'll get healed. Come on! This is what God's saying. You might want to shout to God this morning. And something that the enemy has taken hold of and just got hold of that belongs to you will be loosed. Amen. Just as the walls of Jericho fell down flat that day. It looks ridiculous, and it's about as ridiculous as I'm going to use this illustration. I hope it works for you. It did for me yesterday. Imagine the World Cup and Mongolia is ranked 187th in the world. Now, you know how much we love and bless Mongolia as part of our ministry here. But here's this football team, ranked 187, which is pretty down on the charts. Imagine them having a word from God, which, look, let me tell you, it's unlikely. Okay, so I don't believe God's going to give any team a word. It's all about, it's a different thing. But just imagine they had the word, what you need to do before you even play a game is shout and walk around believing and thanking God for the victory of the World Cup. In fact, you won't even have to play a game. You'll just win. We would think that's utterly ridiculous. If you have a kind of camera, you know, a news report goes into Mongolia and sees a whole nation celebrating. Why are you celebrating? Because actually we've won the World Cup. Don't be ridiculous. You couldn't win the World Cup. And anyway, shouting doesn't win the World Cup. Playing brilliantly, if brilliant football does. And this is the point, you see. We need God. We need God. I am not ashamed to declare it. We need God. And we're not good enough. I am 187th on the world ranking system, and myself, I'm actually at the bottom. But Jesus raised me to the top in Christ, and He is my strength and power. Amen. And so I'm going to shout if He says that's the way to win. You heard this comment, don't count your chickens before they're hatched. That is a doubt. Don't count your chickens. In fact, don't get too excited about your victory, church. Don't get excited that you're going to see those promises happen. Just wait until you actually see them. That's what the devil wants you to do. We're to count every promise and say it's yes and amen in Christ Jesus. It's a certainty. It's a definite because God has said it. He is faithful and He will do it. So this is from the Doubt Club. Faith is, it's sure and certain. There's no question marks over my future. It's because God has said it, He's going to do it. I just give you another story. I heard this testimony about a dad who was really struggling to provide for his family. And he was actually a small town kind of preacher. And just not many in his church. And the family bills were just coming in. And he really wanted to make sure that his family were well provided for. And so he had this idea to start a business. And he thought, well, what I'm going to do is I'm going to buy somewhere, build a kind of a house and get it all regulations-wise up to date to accommodate old people. And it'll only have four elderly people living there, but we should be able to release finances for me and my family. So he got through this whole process, this business adventure, and everything became more and more expensive because of regulations, and it got to a point where he thought, okay, at last, we're ready, and four elderly people moved in to his little project. And within a couple of months, all of them died, which is sad, not just for their families, but for the business. And he was like, my goodness me, what am I going to do now? And the Lord, he went to prayer, and the Lord said to him, because you should never do anything if God hasn't said it. The Lord said to him, I didn't call you to have a business. I called you to preach. And he repented. He said sorry. He said sorry. And he put the business and the house on the market with a really successful, one of the best agents in that area. And it was for a six-month or a year term. And it went on the market. Nobody came. Nobody was interested. Nobody was buying. The bills were piling up, as you can imagine. This dad was absolutely in trouble. Anyway, one day he put the kids in the car and he said, we're going to go around our building. And he left them in the car and parked it up near the building. And he started to walk around. And he walked around seven times. He started off weeping, saying, Lord, nothing's impossible for you. You're able to redeem this situation. Thank you, Jesus, that you're able to bring this into the positive. And the boys in the car are looking at him, making fun of him. Look at Dad, doesn't he look stupid? He's walking around the house. He's doing that Joshua thing. Doesn't it look silly? Our dad's ridiculous. But Dad kept walking by faith around that building seven times. On the seventh time, he shouted. And the kids started throwing stones at him, just mocking him. And he got into the car and he said, that's it, it's sold. And the boys thought, this is ridiculous. And they're thinking, walking around and shouting is not the way to sell a house. And he got home and he just knew that he needed to put a tiny little advert in the local paper. And I mean, this isn't the big estate agent. This is a local paper where he put this little advert in, cost him a few quid, put it in there. And within a week, a cash buyer came in and bought the property and paid all the bills. Now, I don't think it's ridiculous to shout anymore. But if you're thinking it's ridiculous, get over it, because there's some victories you won't win until you shout. If you don't shout, you'll do without. And it's a shout of faith that says, God, you're able, you're mighty, you can do what I can't do. I need you, God, to show up. I need God to show up, don't you? And to actually release the promise into reality. Shout to God. God is in the shout. It seems silly, out of order. You might not feel like it. And I believe as we are moving out with the gospel of Jesus Christ, as we are going walkabout, taking the gospel, witnessing to our friends and people around us, the devil wants to make us think that it's not going to work. But God is in the shout, and we're going to shout for victory. And this city is going to be loosed from Satan's hands, because God has given us this land. This is our land, and everywhere we put our feet belongs to us. And we don't doubt it. We don't doubt it because God's word says it. And that's the issue of faith, isn't it? Being sure of what we hope for, based entirely on what God's word says. It is written. You might have lost hope in something that you were full of hope with in the beginning, but now you're kind of waned a little bit. But God's saying, pick that up and shout, because I've given you that promise. It will come to pass for your family, for your marriage, for us as a church, for your business, for your whole future. It's going to happen, because God says it's going to happen. I'm going to finish with one more scripture, Isaiah, and then I really won't be long with this. How you doing? Tell somebody next to you, don't doubt, give God a shout. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We always need you to do what we can't do. And it's not our own power or strength that fulfills the great promises you give us, but it's your power. Thank you, Jesus. Isaiah 54. Verse 1. Sing! I thought I'd wake you up. Sing, O barren woman, you who never bore a child, burst into song. Shout for joy. Some Christians will say, I will if you actually show me a child. But God says to sing whilst you are not seeing fruitfulness. Shout before you see the fruit. And actually, it could mean, naturally speaking, for people who are barren and want to have kids. But it, I think, primarily speaks about spiritual children, the growth of the Church of Jesus Christ. God has not designed you or me to be unfruitful. And to break that fruitfulness, he calls us to walk by faith. And the way we walk by faith is to sing and shout. It's an expression of faith. Because we believe, what do we believe? This is what God's word says. And every promise is yes and amen in Christ. So this is yours in Christ. More are the children of the desolate woman than of her who has a husband. In other words, it's not a miracle for a couple to have a baby. It's normal. But it's a miracle for someone who isn't married to have kids. By the hand of God, by the power of God. And what God's saying, the fruitfulness comes from God. And your faith that God will make you fruitful. And see many children, meet many, many people affected by your life. Many people changed by your call and destiny. Because God does not want his people to be barren. We are here to reach many. And God has promised us many children. And for those chairs that are not filled this morning, even if people are away, but the normal empty chairs and others, shout and sing because they're going to be filled. Put your God glasses on and don't look at the empty chair with your natural eyes. Look at it filled. Don't look at your empty bank account. Look at it God's way. Don't look at your circumstances. Put God's sight on. Don't look at your body, your failing health. Look, the stripes of Jesus, you're healed. Don't look naturally. Look by faith. And shout and sing before you see the fruit. Before. Come on, let's stand, church.
If you would like any further information on Kingdom Faith Southwest, please contact us on 01823 664 186 or overseas visitors 0044 1823 664 186 or log onto our website at www.kingdomfaithsw.com.